Our eyes are the organs of light perception, and it's usually reflected or bounced off objects. But now we're looking at this flat screen, and there's no depth. You know, the pixels actually don't give you real depth. It's like this fake 3D. We just have this tunnel vision, like staring, overly focused our central vision at these screens all day, which is really not how nature intended us to use our eyes.
If you haven't done so already, go ahead and click that subscribe button down below. It's a little red button. You punch that and it's going to notify you every time we put out a new episode that can help you improve your bone health. And then also, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com, sign up for the free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart. That's going to walk you through everything you need to be doing right now to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. After you do those two things, go ahead and press play on this episode and I'll see you inside. Welcome to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. Joining us today to explore healthy vision for balance and fracture prevention is Claudia Muhlenweg. Claudia Muhlenweg is the founder of Holistic Vision and creator of Naturally Clear Vision Method. Claudia is a sought-after international speaker and workshop leader. She focuses on finding the root cause of her clients' blurry vision instead of using symptomatic treatments like glasses, contacts, or surgery that can actually make their eyesight worse in the long term. She never liked wearing her glasses and has made it her mission to help others see clearly, naturally, just like she's done. Claudia, so great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. So let's go ahead and get started. I always want to start with how people even got started in their respective fields. I'd love to learn how you even got started in this field. It sounded like you had glasses and in the past and you never liked wearing them and you made it your mission. So I'd love to hear how you went down this path.
Yeah, so I got my first pair of glasses at age 3, very young, and I had what's called a convergent squint. So my right eye was turning in and I was farsighted. And so when I wore these glasses, as kids, you know, I hate glasses. As a kid, who likes glasses, right? You want to play around. And I was born in the 60s, so I'm a little older than you. And back then, no other kid wore glasses. There was one boy in school when I got into school, and he was like, I know the answer to everything. And I wasn't a smart kid. And I got bullied and teased, and I was miserable. And even on the playground, the glasses broke, you stepped on them, and then they were taped. And as I got a little older, I got really interested in like fixing my vision. Everybody was laughing at me, like, that's not possible. And I was determined. And I finally found a book in my late teens on this natural vision improvement. And I was reading the book and applying the principles. And I think in hindsight, this is interesting for our talk today. I started playing handball at the age of 12, and I wasn't allowed to wear my glasses because they were actually glass, too dangerous with a heavy leather ball. And I was, and that's the sunlight and the movement and the periphery, all the stuff we talked, the focusing, catching the ball, throwing the ball. And I think that in combination with the natural vision method that I practiced helped me to get rid of glasses. And I was glasses free in all my 20s. And then in my late 30s, terrible marriage, divorce, stress, single mom. And I was back in glasses. And in my early 40s, I had this epiphany where I noticed how quickly my vision got worse and worse wearing the glasses. And I'm like, I've done this before. I can do this. Even now I'm in my 40s when they tell you that you can't do anything. And I eventually found a private teacher because the book itself wasn't enough. So I had to actually get more help and then did the teacher training because I realized I really want to do this work. It's so amazing. And I've been glasses free for almost 20 years.
That is amazing. And I would love to get into this a little bit more because I know eye health and vision is super, super important for obviously having good balance and your depth perception, and all these things play into, you know, potential fractures, especially for somebody that has osteopenia and osteoporosis. So can you talk about what happens with someone's depth perception as we age, and how's that going to impact our balance?
So, you know, depth perception is basically based on your two eyeballs working together. So if both eyes focus on one point, that's the only way we have depth perception. So sometimes, let's say I had that convergent squint, right? So my right eye wasn't actually working together properly with the left eye. And that would mean that, like, for instance, as an example, you probably don't know because our brain is incredible. And we figure out, we compensate. A lot of times people don't know they don't have depth perception because that's how they just, you know, how people don't know they're colorblind because they assume that's just how everybody sees the world. And for instance, you might bump into things a lot. You might be called clumsy when you were little. You know, you might trip over things where because the shadow looks like a shadow, but it's actually a step, those kind of things. And so it doesn't necessarily mean when you get older that always happens, but there's a tendency for some of these functions to get weaker as we get older. And especially for someone like me, or if you had amblyopia, or if for some reason your eyes were never working well together, or another example that's becoming more popular now with the older generation, it's called monovision. So monovision is something where they make one eye for near vision and the other eye for far vision, right? And that could be done with LASIK, it can be done with contacts, and it could be done with cataract surgery when they replace your lenses in your eyes. And it's like, oh, now you don't need glasses for near and far. And but what happens is one eye is always looking. Yes, the other eye is kind of there, but it's not actively participating. And I've noticed that that's when people lose depth perception. And it's when you get into your 50s and 60s, or often they do the cataract surgeries like 60 plus, and then your risk of, and you know all about that, right? When you fall, you're going to have major issues. And I think even the death rates are way higher when you fall in your after 50, like break your hip or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely want to make sure we're avoiding fracture and injury and things like that, especially later in life, because, you know, in a lot of situations, people can end up in, you know, nursing homes or, you know, having issues like that. So we obviously want to try to prevent that. And if in terms of our vision though, you would think, or a lot of people think that, you know, as they age, their vision is just going to naturally decline. That's an unavoidable part of the aging process. Does looking at screens and things like that have any impact? I know we're such a technology-based society right now, where we're always connected to our phones, our computers, our Zoom screens. How is that impacting our vision?
That's a really great question, because here's the thing, like you and I are now talking on Zoom, and I see you have a room behind you and there's plants and there's a shelf, but it's a fake 3D. It's just a flat screen, right? So for the eye, for real, like, light is basically, think about it that way. Our eyes are the organs of light perception, and it's usually reflected or bounced off objects, right? And we have a way to gauge distance and space by, you know, different like movement. For instance, in the foreground, things move more than in the background, further away. And so our brain gathers this information all the time from all this feedback. But now we're looking at this flat screen, and there's no depth, you know, the pixels actually don't give you real depth. It's like this fake 3D, and that confuses our system. And when you think about nature, our eyes are meant to move near and far, and, you know, stuff on the side is moving. You're like, oh, what's going on there? Is there like a predator? Or like, you're constantly kind of, you don't stare at one point for hours at a time. So that is really, that's like, so those are the two factors. It's the kind of, you don't really know how far something is away. The pixels are horrible, because, you know, those, what do they call these newer remarkable or Kindles, like these devices that are more like an actual paper, they're definitely better than those backlit LED screens. So that's one factor. And the other thing is that we just have this tunnel vision, like staring, overly focused on central vision at these screens all day, which is really not how nature intended us to use our eyes.
And are there specific do's and don'ts of having good eyesight and things we should and shouldn't be doing?
Oh my God, there's such a long list. And a couple of simple ones. So like we always say, oh, I stare at the computer. So staring is associated with blurry vision. If you stare at something for a long time and you don't blink, I mean, it actually hurts my eyes. So blinking, right? Naturally, we are blinking every 2 to 3 seconds. And when I observe people playing video games or looking at computers, and not just me that did studies on this, instead of blinking every 2 to 3 seconds, people would blink maybe 2 or 3 times per minute. And it only takes 10 seconds of not blinking for your tear film that's covering your cornea to get thinner. And that's when we have the computer eye syndrome, dry eyes. So blinking is such a simple thing, just like breath, that we do automatically, thank God. I always say, thank God this happens automatically. However, we can also remember, you know, and maybe put a sticker on the computer, like blink, blink, blink. And then eventually, like for me, it's becoming a habit. I cannot even not blink anymore because it just hurts my eyes. So that's a simple thing. What else? Let me think about shifting your attention. Like, definitely, I have my computer, like, I'm looking out a window behind. I don't know what you have, but I'm looking out a window.
Same here.
So it's easy, right? So when you have your computer against the wall, then you have to get up and turn around. And who does that, right? So make it easy. Have your room equally lit so that you have your peripheral vision kind of, you have a focal point, but you also have an awareness of your space. So that's a couple of things. I think we can talk more. I have more tips, but I don't want to do too much in one.
That's okay. And you know what's interesting is when you were talking about the whole blinking thing, I think whenever anybody calls out, you know, your breath or your blinking or your posture, you know, you might sit up a little more straight. You might intentionally start blinking your eyes more. And I noticed myself do that just as you mentioned that too. So that's really interesting. And then, you know, are there specific exercises or, you know, things like that? I know there are some things we shouldn't be doing and some ways we can adjust, but are there like exercises you can do to actually improve your vision?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole lot, and I'm not a fan of what eye exercise. I mean, this is what, in my marketing, I have to talk about eye exercise because everybody is looking for eye exercises. But what I always teach is that you want to change habits. So exercises can help you to kind of unravel a bad habit that you have. For instance, one key focal anatomy-based thing about vision is that we have an amazing retina, right? The photoreceptors in the back of our eye. And we have an area called the fovea that you might have heard of, like that's inside the macula. Macular degeneration is a debilitating eye disease that robs you of your central vision. And knowing when I first learned all this, and this is what people with glasses usually do, you try to see like the whole computer clear at once, right? And I have you, I see you, and I have some other apps open. But knowing that when I look, you have this beautiful t-shirts on. When I look at B in Bone Coach, right? I look at the B, I don't even know what the last letter is unless I move my attention. So moving your eyes. So our central vision is the sharp, clear vision. It's a tiny spot like a pinhead. And then we have the near periphery, the middle periphery. And the further out you get, the less clear we can see. This is just anatomy. This has nothing to do with if you have 20/15 vision or 20/40 vision. Everybody has that. Like wherever you look, you see things best. And the further away you are, and I usually teach this exercise when people don't get that. And I didn't get it initially. I was like, what? No, I see everything. And yes, we see everything, but we don't see it clearly. And usually what I teach people is like, you hold up two thumbs and maybe, you know, you start a little farther away and then you look at one thumb and you're like, are you aware that you're seeing that one better? Yeah, I barely even see this other one. And then you switch. Yeah, now I see that one better. And then you move them closer and closer and closer, right? Like step by step by step. And then you look at this one and you're like, oh, I still see that better, a little better. And then you do the outer edge of that thumb and, oh yeah, I see that outer edge a little better than that one. So just to get that idea. And it's not like your eyes have to like now work really hard at like pointing at all the things. I mean, but it just means that eye movement, which we call circadian eye movement, that kind of quickly moving, right? Like snapshot little, that's like an easy effortless thing. And for a lot of people with glasses, the eyeballs, I always say that, you know, the eye is almost like frozen. They're like a ball bearing that has no grease in it. It's like, you know, So that's one thing that we really, but that takes a little bit of time and some practices. And I don't do any of these practices anymore. I move my eyes well all day long, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I'm sure that's really important for everybody to be doing. Now I do have a question about a lot of people have glasses, contacts, LASIK surgery. Gosh, I hear you can't even get in your car and without hearing commercials for LASIK, even. So talk about those things a little bit. And what are the problems, if any, associated with all three of those things?
Yeah, so there's a lot of problems. So the first thing I always say, they don't address the root cause. You know, you teach the root cause of bone health and what you do. And glasses are, or contacts or surgery are basically a band-aid. It's like a quick fix that we want instead of changing our habits, instead of looking at, we haven't even talked about that, emotions, because our vision is very affected by emotions, state of being. So instead of doing that, or let me just get the quick fix and slap the glasses on. That's one thing. The other one is that diopters, which is a measurement of the strength of glasses, right, of your visual acuity, only corrects you from one distance. So when you're nearsighted, you get corrected for 20 feet far away. When you need reading glasses, you get readers, right? Or cheaters, if you get them, you know, that's what they're called. You look at, you know, 40 centimeters, 16 inches, and that's the diopters that you need for that distance, right? And if you do LASIK, most people that get LASIK usually are nearsighted, so they need correction for driving or distance vision. Again, you get corrected for that distance, but now those numbers are not right for other distances. And, you know, that's when people with reading glasses, you usually take them off when you look far away, right? And you just put them on when you read. But now your vision declines more and more, and now you suddenly need those diopters for all distances, and then you get bifocals or progressives. But the reality is you never needed the same diopters. If you're nearsighted and if, you know, you wear these glasses for driving, but now you're at the computer all day long, you don't need the same diopters for 2 feet that you need at 20 feet. So you're basically, when you're young, you pull it together and you use that extra, but it's a super strain on the eyes. And then the last thing is, especially with glasses, it's all a little different, right? Contacts and glasses and surgery all have little different areas. So with glasses, there's this idea that the area where the glasses are, everything is sharp. But remember how we just talked about that central vision? So there's this idea, everything here is sharp and everything in that field I can stare is equally sharp. And all out here, oh, that's just because there's no glasses, I can't see anything here. When in reality, we only see movement in the outer periphery. We don't even see colors. That's one thing. But glasses have the advantage now that you realize you need different glasses for the computer, you need different glasses for driving, that you take them off and you put another pair on. And we will talk about progressives in a moment, why I don't recommend them. But contacts have, yes, great peripheral vision. There's this kind of, you have that wide field, but you're not going to take them in or out. Like you put those in and then you have them for the rest of your day in your eyes, no matter if you read for like 8 hours or if you're driving for 8 hours. And then LASIK is the issues that, again, it's one diopter, and that correction is only going to work for that distance. And when you're young, again, you can make it work, right? But as you get older, everybody is back in glasses. And I just talked to somebody who feels her life is ruined. She cannot read books anymore she had LASIK done, was nearsighted, and now she's in her 50s and now cannot read without glasses. And she's just, it ruined my life. Halos at night, dry eyes, you often need prescription eye drops. And again, within 10 years, everyone is back in glasses. So it's really, and it's, you can't change it. It's carved into your cornea. And it's not like, ooh, you did the wrong measurements. Well, too bad. It's not like a contact, you know what I mean? So yeah, I don't think LASIK is a great thing to do. I don't recommend it.
That's interesting. And that, you know, that probably comes to a shock for a lot of people too. And you just mentioned also progressive. So can you talk about those a little bit too?
Yeah. And this really comes back to, you know, bone health. And I'm sure you talk about posture in your classes too, like how posture is important for bone health. So progressives make our bifocals. In the old days, we had bifocals with that kind of hard line. They make the assumption that you look straight and you look far and you look down and you're reading. Now, every person that I talk to in my classes on my webinars, I'm like, how did you feel when you first put those glasses on? And is your brain like, oh my God, no, like, because it's confusing, right? It's like, because now you look down, but maybe you're walking down a flight of stairs. And again, the diopters at the bottom of the glasses are measured for reading, but depending on how tall you are, now you look at your feet and that's blurry, that's wrong. Or you're at the computer and you see people on the computer like this, because the computer is straight, but it's closed. So you're looking for the lower part. You're basically always tilting your head in a way to kind of have the right diopter for the distance. And that creates neck problems, tension in the neck. Astigmatism is connected to that postural and eye scanning habit. And yeah, so progressives, and they're really expensive too. So I don't recommend those.
Well, and there, this actually kind of leads into to another question I have about sunglasses, because a lot of people wear sunglasses all the time. They'll never go outside without having their sunglasses on, which I don't think is a good idea anyway. But what impact do sunglasses have on our vision too?
So you know, when you think about that, the eyes are the organs of light perception, just like our ears perceive sound, our tongue perceives taste, right? Our nose smells. Now you're thinking like, the people are like, oh, I'm not so light sensitive. I'm like, are your ears sound sensitive and your nose smells? And like, is it like, God, I can't, you know, no. So if you have vision problems, usually light sensitivity goes hand in hand, because if you can't tolerate light, how can you then perceive light information correctly? So reducing light sensitivity is really important. I always want to say as a, definitely as a disclaimer. So there is, if you're like, you know, me, Northern European, and now you live in Africa, like, you know, when you think about how we now live in all kinds of places, there is definitely differences with brown eyes and blue eyes. But the general idea is that you can tolerate light, generally speaking. I'm not talking about extreme conditions, skiing in bright sunlight or being on the ocean. I'm talking about regular, normal conditions. Our eyes should be able to tolerate sunlight because, first of all, we get vitamin D. We got a lot of information. Even the hormones are affected by light perception through the eyes. And our brain actually calculates how much melanin to secrete when you're for tanning based on the information. Now you wear these dark goggles, and that's actually leading to higher risk of sunburn because your brain's like, oh, it's not that dark, that bright. I don't really need to secrete all that melanin. And then lastly, that was the biggest impact on me and many of my clients. I had trouble driving at night. I was so like in the cars and the bright light. And then, you know, I flipped the rearview mirror and I, you know, like I really struggled with these bright lights, especially these SUVs with those high lights, you know. And when I stopped wearing sunglasses and I practiced sunning, which I teach in my programs, it's basically you start with closed eyes, but you reduce your light sensitivity. Now, I don't, I mean, I'm not purposefully looking into bright headlights of cars, but my pupillary reaction, pupils are built in sunglasses. When it's really bright, they're very small. When it's dark, they open up. So my pupillary reaction is now super fast versus if you always wear dark glasses and you never actually train your pupils to actually react, they become sluggish, right? And that's why it takes too, they're slow when it's bright, and that's when you get too much light and you're like, oh my God, this is like blinding me. So that's
very
kind of
interesting. Really, really interesting. And I know, you know, just from wearing sunglasses, like your eyes need to be able to see that, you know, the sun too. I mean, that's going to help set the, your circadian rhythm in motion also.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about any thoughts on, you know, at nighttime, right? Those red light glasses that you're wearing in the evenings to make sure you're blocking out the blue lights that could be, you know, telling your circadian rhythm, hey, be alive, be awake right before bedtime. Obviously we shouldn't be looking at screens in the evening anyway, but what are your thoughts about those?
So it's so interesting, right? 10 years ago, no one talked about this. Now it's this hot topic. And here's the thing. I always look at nature. When the sun rises, right, it's up here. And then in the middle of the day, it's up here. So yes, when you want to go to sleep, you shouldn't have bright blue lights shining from the top of your room, because it's going to screw up your circadian rhythms. What I always believe, I don't wear blue blocking glasses during the day because I want the blue light. I want to be awake. I want to be coherent when I'm talking to you, not like, oh God, I'm so tired. But my screens have a usually very high amount of blue and green light, like most modern computers. So I use computer software. You know, there's free software on Apple devices, or also I think on PCs. There's Flux, there's Iris, there's several blue blocking, really great softwares that you can use. And then in the evening, yes, you want to make sure that I have my blue blocking on my screens on all day long because I don't want that extra blue light from the artificial screens. But then the evening, you do want to, you know, you do want to avoid any blue light. And if you have, let's say you work in somewhere or you have fluorescent lights or you cannot control the lighting environment in your place in the evening, the red ones are great. Or maybe you have a TV that doesn't have any settings to reduce the blue light. The red glasses are amazing because they really help you, or orange ones in the evening, right? So I think they come in handy. Or if you have some eye diseases, they could even be great during the day if you have macular degeneration and you want to avoid getting all that extra blue light into your macula, right? So that might be better than sunglasses because you still have the pupillary reaction. But I say use them like purposefully versus just like, oh, I have to, my blue light is bad. No, blue light keeps us awake. So yes, I use them, but I don't use them like crazy all day long. I use them very purposefully, especially in the evening, or let's say I'm in a hotel room and all the lights are like really bright or blue, whatever, I would use them. But at home I have incandescents, or I have like warmer lights in the evening, and I have all the lights on the side, mimicking nature, right? The sun setting, it's getting warmer, more red, and then it's on the side, and then it's dark. So
yeah. Yeah. And that software that you mentioned too is called Flux, F.Lux, F-L-U-X. You can download that on any computers. But again, I probably don't recommend being on your computer late at night. You probably want to tone that down, maybe wake up earlier in the day to get your stuff done instead of going to bed later.
I agree.
Okay. And then in terms of what are some things that my listeners can do right now to start improving their vision?
So one of the things that that we don't ever do for our eyes, we never rest them, right? I'm at a standing desk right now. I love standing, but I'm not standing at my desk all day long. I also sit down. And so resting your eyes, and it's something that you might have called cupping, or we call it palming. It's basically you close your eyes and you can rub your hands together, and you simply, for those of you just listening, you want to support your elbows, and you're covering your closed eyes with your cupped hands. And if you were to open your eyes, ideally no light would be coming in. And I always see this as a little mini vacation. So you're resting your eyes. You're also resting your mind. You're like, taking a few deep breaths, and think of maybe something really joyful, or a beautiful place, or a person. Others can be real, imaginary, whatever. Like you go like, oh yeah, that's so nice. And you maybe focus on your breath, relaxing your shoulders, enjoying the blackness and the darkness. And then, you know, you can just, to come out of it, and you can do it much longer, you keep your eyes closed. And then I like to wait till I'm like, you know, you notice a lot more light coming in. And then when you're like, oh, okay, I'm ready to come back to planet Earth, 5 quick blinks, 5 gentle squeezes, and your eyes will feel rejuvenated and refreshed. And that was like really short. So taking little breaks, ideally before your vision gets blurry or before you feel strain. And if you already have strain, then maybe do this a little longer. So that's something you can do. Really, I like to think of pee and palm every time I go to the bathroom. You know, not for you guys, you're standing up, but us, we're sitting down.
Yeah.
And we keep elbows on our knees and just take a few deep breaths and give our eyes a little break.
That's a great tip. I think the people that were listening and watching, you can go back through and do that again. Do that as a little exercise that you can help get yourself through to help your vision out throughout the day.
Yeah. And then something else. Okay. I wanted to say, so periphery, we talked a little bit about periphery. In the periphery, we only notice movement. And so sometimes I have like 2 screens, you know, sometimes putting a little video or an animated GIF, or maybe even using your phone, you know, on one of those GIFs and put it on the, because it just keeps you, it kind of keeps you in that awareness of peripheral space versus, you know, going down into the tunnel vision of your computer. Those are things that are helpful. And then shifting your attention, like we talked about, just making sure that you have lots of things to look at, that you're not looking at things for too long. That's some simple practices you can do.
That is amazing. Thank you so much, Claudia, for sharing your knowledge and expertise with us today. And I would love to share, where can people find you and learn more about you if they're interested?
So I'm sure you're going to put it in the show notes.
I have absolutely a website. Will, yeah.
My Holistic Vision is my website. I have a free gift. It's www.naturallyclearvision.com/10habits, the number 10 and habits, where I explain the sunning, where I explain the palming and the posture and the astigmatism. I go into more depth. I also have an Instagram channel, a Holistic Vision Coach, and I have a YouTube channel where I also go live every week and teach free classes.
Absolutely love it. And we will link to your website in the show notes. And then for all of you listening and watching right now, you can find all the resources, show notes, everything we mentioned here today over at bonecoach.com /Claudia Mullenvig Naturally Clear Vision. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Bone Coach Show. We'll see you in the next one. Hey, it's Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. Hope you found that episode helpful and that you enjoyed it. Just one last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com, sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart. It's going to tell you everything you need to do to start getting on the path to improvement. Hope you found this helpful. I'm your Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. I'll see you soon.